George Kilpatrick, new inspiration for the nation. We are the show that celebrates the positive achievements of African Americans from all walks of life, people that we feel good about. And it is our mission to bring to you individuals whose stories you may not be aware of. And certainly we've got an inspirational story for you today. Angela Winfield is an attorney with unlimited vision. She's also a life coach, and she's got a website, myblindfaith.com. And in fact, the words blind faith certainly are apropos, as when you hear Angela's story, it'll become very crystal clear why she sees herself with unlimited potential and vision. But it wasn't always that way. Angela Winfield, we welcome you to the program.
I am so happy to be here today. Thank you for having me.
Angela, you and I had a chance to meet, and I can tell our audience that you're a lot of fun, and you really love where you are in life right now.
I really do. I mean, life is a gift, and I finally realized that. And once you realize that, everything becomes much more enjoyable. Even the hard stuff, it's part of the journey, and it's just, you got to have a sense of humor through it.
You know, I was thinking about you on the way over here, so we're doing a story about an attorney who happens to be blind. Yes, that's the hint, my blind faith, there you go. And I was thinking about, well, having someone blind and to be an achiever isn't necessarily new. We've got Ray Charles as an entertainer. We've got Stevie Wonder. We've got the Blind Boys as entertainers. But then I stopped and thought, wait a minute, we're talking about entertainers. We're not so used to seeing people in the legal profession as lawyers. So that's why we're bringing this story to our listeners, because what you're doing is, in my view, amazing.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's been a struggle, and it's been, I mean, that was one of my challenges, is that I didn't have those role models. I knew of Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder, and I was like, but wait a minute, they're not women, and they're not trying to break into this profession that's, you know, primarily white, primarily male, and with people that are sighted.
Yeah. So let's talk about your journey, because where you are now isn't always where you have been.
No. Well, when I was 4 years old, I was diagnosed with a number of conditions, rheumatoid arthritis, glaucoma, cataracts, and uveitis. And the combination of all those gave me a condition with my eyes, and my vision deteriorated slowly. So by the time I was 10, I was legally blind. I still had sight. I just wore thick glasses. I didn't have a cane. I didn't have a seeing eye dog like I do now. And I was raised like I was a normal kid, until I hit junior high. And junior high is hard for everybody, because you're trying to figure out, you know, who you are and what you want to do. And that's when I started to realize that I was really different. You know, I had a disability.
You know, it's interesting. You said you had a disability. And you also said to me that you also had trouble figuring out what box to check in terms of your experiences.
That is so true, because I didn't fit in anywhere at that time, because I had all these labels, you know, woman, blind, African American, and you go to all the different clubs, you try and join the African American Culture Club, and then I was the, you know, I was the blind one, I was the one who couldn't see. Then you join the disabled club, and you're the African American, you know. So I was trying to integrate all these things. I was like, I don't know where I fit, and I was just very confused and very depressed. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to the point where I didn't want to live. You know, I was suicidal. Because there was no one that looked like me. What I wanted, I knew what I wanted. I wanted to be a lawyer, but there was no one out there, and I couldn't help but think, does that mean it's not possible?
Did you ever try to take your life?
Yes. Yes, I did. Yeah.
What'd you do, and what happened?
You're going to take me there. You're going to take me. I have not shared this with many people, but when I was 15, a couple of times I took a number of pills, because I was already on medications, and I was very bright. I had the internet, and I knew what the pills could do. I knew what the side effects were. And I took them, and I'd written a letter, and my parents found the letter, and they took me to the hospital. And I went through a long period of therapy. But the thing about the therapy and the thing about the depression, I actually left high school for several months because I couldn't bear to go to school and be different and be isolated. I had no interaction with my peers. It was definitely clinical depression, but it wasn't because of an imbalance, it was because of the way I was thinking and looking at my situation of being blind, how it was going to affect me. And I mean, there was nothing. There's no medication you can take that's going to help you overcome that, because every day you wake up and you have that disability. You have that obstacle that you think is going to get away in the way of accomplishing your goals. That's why I was in that state of mind.
That you think, the word, the operative word, that you think is going to get you in the way, because we're often told that our thoughts are prayers, right?
Yes.
Be careful what you're praying. Be careful what you think about as a man or woman thinketh, right? That's what the prophet Gibran says, so is he or she. And so your thought, you imprisoned yourself, and many of us do that, don't we? We it's not what's happening to us, it's what we allow to happen to ourselves. We can't even get out of our own way, some of us.
That is exactly it. That is exactly it. And I was telling you the other day that, you know, the way I coached myself through it. And the first thing I taught myself, the first thing I learned while I was coaching was to control. I only had control over certain things, my thoughts and my actions.
Yes.
That was it. And I can, by controlling those things and changing them, making that shift, I could, you know, change my response to my situation. I could change my response to how other people treated me. And that's what I control. So that's what I started working on.
Talking with Angela Winfield. Angela Winfield is an attorney and a life coach. And we're hearing her story from one who was dealing with clinical depression, thoughts of suicide, attempted suicide, and now has reached the pinnacle of her career. And she started with changing a pattern of thinking. And I think that's so important that you start with that. Now, the fact that you did that doesn't mean that things changed overnight.
That's true. That is true. It took years for me to get to a place where I was really confident. And I'll tell you what kind of pushed me over the edge. When I was 20, I was in college, and I had another flare-up with my eye condition. And I went from being visually impaired, legally blind, still having sight, and hiding. And I told you, I called it passing, because I could pass as sighted. And that's what I try to do. But at 20, when I had that flare-up, I lost the rest of my sight. So now I only have light perception. And for the past 8 years, that's what I've had. That caused me. Losing the rest of my sight caused me to step into my own. I couldn't hide. It was no matter the case of being in a category. It was just me. I had to show up and be me and put it all together.
You said that I had to show up and be me and put it all together, and yet you didn't even know who you were.
I had to figure that out quick, you know, because it gets to the point where you can't hide. Like, I wanted to hide this part of me, and by losing my sight, I didn't have that choice anymore. So the only choice I had, if I wanted to still accomplish my goal of being a lawyer and being successful and being happy, was to choose what I had to do. And what I had to do was, you know, show up, you know, figure out what was important to me, what was really important to me. Was it more important that I, you know, pretend to be sighted and have other people think I can see? Or is it more important that I actually get the help I need and accomplish my goals? And it was the latter. It was accomplishing my goals.
And so did you, so you're deciding this, or is this in consultation with your parents? And how is your life changing in this moment? Are you on your own by this point, or what's happening?
Part of it was with myself, because it always starts with you. You've got to make that action. And my parents have always been there. My family has been a huge support system. You know, there's four things that I talk about in that helped me overcome my goals. And I say it helped me open the doors. So the keys to my success that helped me open the door: outlook, my plan, my education, and my network. And by network, I don't mean just like your professional network. That's really important. But the other element of the network is your support system. And I did have the support of my parents. They both got to where they were through education. They both became teachers. They were the first to go to college in their families. Both came from very poor backgrounds and, you know, made a difference, made a path for me to follow on because of that. So they always told me I could do whatever I wanted. Now, my mom, she's very realistic. She told me I couldn't be a singer. she did tell me, she said, that's not for you. That's not for you. But don't limit yourself. She didn't let her fear limit me, and she told me not to limit myself.
You say so that you began a process and you started to coach yourself and you start. Did you read any books? Did you find that you had comfort in a particular thing? Was it scripture based? What were the things? What were the tools of your personal transformation that you used to make the difference in your own life? Because I love the idea of coaching yourself, because a lot of us, you're a life coach, and so people call on you to help them through, but you were your first client. So what were some of the tools, books, resources that you used?
Mm-hmm. Well, as a high school student, I didn't rely on much. Surprisingly, a lot of it came from just being alone, spending time thinking. Mm. But the one thing that has always resonated with me is the Serenity Prayer. Mm. Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Mm. I pondered on that for I don't know how many hours. That helped me through so much. And then the rest of it, I kind of just filled in. And now, as an adult, when I do read, purpose-driven life and, investment books, all different types of materials, and even through my training as to be a life coach through IPEC, I read this stuff and it's like, wow, this was there. If I had those things back then, it would have been a little bit easier, but that I see myself in those things now. But when I was going through it, I didn't have those resources. I just had myself, my family, and that Serenity Prayer.
We see the end result of what you did to get here, but the fact of the matter is, you still had to put the work in, and nobody was going to give you any slack just because you couldn't see. And I know I said that sounded may sound harsh to listeners, but in many regards, that's the fact, isn't it?
Oh, that is definitely the truth. I mean, when I was looking at what I wanted to accomplish and, my profession, one thing that I always told myself is that I can't just be the bare minimum. I can't just be mediocre. I'm going to have to be the best. I'm going to have to do the best and be the best to prove myself, not only to myself, but to other people. Because even though I believed in myself and my abilities, that's not necessarily the way other people are going to interpret it or going to see me. So I'm going to have to overcome that every day. And to do that, I needed to put in the work.
And so you put the work in, and here you are practicing law in one of the prestigious law firms here in upstate New York, Hiscock and Barkley, a firm that goes all the way back. I mean, turn of the century, pretty
That's
much.
That's right, yeah, oh yeah.
In Syracuse and Central New York, a very long history and a long legacy. And dealing with blindness, certainly, now you're used to it. You're not even 30 yet. I want people to recognize that. You're not even 30 yet. But you say that that blindness is not your only, it's not necessarily a disability. You say that there are other things that cripple other people that make them disabled. What are those things?
Mm-hmm. It's all context. A lot of it is your state of mind, lack of support, limiting beliefs. When you think that something isn't possible because, I'm too old or I'm too young, that's a disability. That's holding you back. Anything that's holding you back or stopping you from getting what you want is a disability.
And so that's why you say I have unlimited vision, because I'm not seeing myself in the way you might see me. And yet you've got to make some accommodations. So you used to walk with a cane, and you had an experience with that. What?
I did. I after I lost my sight completely, I started using a cane again. And I traveled with my guy. I loved using a cane because I got out there and I was identifiable as being blind. I actually spent 6 months in London using a cane, and I could fold it up when I needed it. But
in a study abroad program.
Yep, in a study abroad program.
See what I'm saying? Unlimited vision. Child ain't gonna let nobody stop her from doing what she wanna do. So, there's some people listening to us that haven't been around the corner. She's not sighted, and yet she's going overseas.
That is, I scared my mother to death, and she had to relax. She said, if it wasn't for prayers and Vonage, I never would let you go.
That's so funny. They ought to hire you or pay you for that one.
I know.
Vonage is, of course, is a VOIP, Internet Protocol,
Right. So I used my cane, and you know, I started to think about, you know, other options, and I ended up getting a seeing eye dog. Mm-hmm. And that really changed things for me, because it's a whole new sense of freedom. You have a partnership. There are things that a dog can do for me that a cane just can't do. Mm-hmm. You know, there, I can give it a command and it can take me inside, outside, and there's just, you know, it's a synergy. You know, it takes a lot of the thinking away. When I'm using a cane, I was constantly thinking about what was going on, what it was telling me. Now with a dog, I don't have that. And the other thing that the dog did that I never realized it would do, it opened things up for me socially. Like, people come up and talk to me because I have a dog. They weren't used to do that when I had the cane, because they didn't know how to approach me.
And so you had to go to Jersey to get training. This is there are places around the country that actually do this. And then you learn there's a partnership and there's a rhythm. And it certainly is something that you have to get used to. And yet you say it opens up your world.
Oh, it really does. I mean, it can be a very hard training period. You know, my first dog that I had, I got him in 2004. I went down for 3.5 weeks to Jersey, full-time program, training with the dog every single day. And boy, when I got home, he tested me for about a year until that relationship gelled. And I worked with him for 7.5 years. And now I'm on my second dog and going through the same sort of things. But it's a great experience. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Angela, so you passed the bar. Just amazing. I guess a lot of people wonder, so what is it like being blind?
You know, I mean, it impacts everything that I do, but I don't think about it all the time anymore. It's not like I wake up and say, oh, I'm blind today. You know, I do the things that I have to do, and I do the things that I enjoy. So where it really impacts me is the little things that you don't think about, like, you know, reading instructions on, you know, when you're making dinner. You know, you're trying to read the instruction or reading a recipe. You know, that's where accommodation, that's where technology comes in, you know, matching clothing. We talked about that a little bit. I mean, it's the little things.
Well, you know, I just realized that we had a governor in New York State who was legally blind. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I didn't mention his name. But the reason why I mentioned his name is because you read Braille and he didn't. It's almost as if, and so that's a decision he made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, with Braille, I mean, I read Braille in the sense I can take notes. I do a lot of labeling in Braille. I have not and cannot read a book, an entire book or magazine in Braille. It's just too time-consuming and too tedious. But I learned Braille late in life because I didn't know how my disability was going to affect me. Mm-hmm. When I was very young, I relied on my sight, so I read with my sight. And learning Braille, it's a new language. It's a whole new language.
Angela, what is your inspiration?
My inspiration, my mother, it's a combination of my mother and, probably like any good black woman, Oprah.
What is it about Oprah that inspires you, and what is it that you take from her to do what you do every day?
I mean, she changed her world. I mean, she talks about how she came from an abused background and she was poor, and she built this empire for herself and for others. You know, she has this message that she shares of hope and inspiration, motivation, and, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to leave a mark. I want to leave a legacy and make a difference in lives.
And what is your advice to those who are listening who may feel that they're trapped because of circumstance, situation? My mother wasn't there. My father wasn't there. I'm in foster care. I'm at the top of my game, and I want to go even higher. Speak to that individuals, whether they're at the top of their game or whether they're trying to figure out what game they're in.
Mm-hmm. What I would say is that you have to figure out who you are. You know, do some really deep soul searching and figure out what you really, really want. You know, I'm not talking about, you know, the car or, you know, the big house. I mean, what are the things that are going to make you feel like you have accomplished them, that are going to make you happy? And it's not the material things usually. And then you figure out a way to get that, you know, and it comes together. Once you get your thoughts in alignment with your core values and you start taking actions, even if they're small baby steps, you're going to get there.
You know, I first became aware of you during the Syracuse Science Entry Technology program, and was impressed with you then, and am impressed with you now. Blind Faith Enterprises is your speaking business where you motivate, educate, and inspire. Your website, myblindfaith.com, and you're available as a life coach as well. And we should say your litigation practice involves what?
I do commercial litigation, so I do trials and appeals for businesses, any sort of contract disputes and that sort of thing I handle.
There you go.
Okay, George, there's just one more thing. I have a story coming out in a title called Chicken Soup for the Soul, The Power of Positive. It hits bookshelves October 23rd.
And what are you telling us in that story?
That is the story of how I found my leadership.
And give us a tip. Give me a hint. I'm not going to let you go with that. You're going to get away with that. Go ahead. Give me something.
the hint is how when you think you have a plan of yourself, there's always a greater plan. And it just tells the story of how things can work out for you.
All right. Look for that chicken soup for the soul. And again, the story is?
It's in the title, The Power of Positive. And the name of my story is Blind Faith.
Angela Winfield is somebody we feel good about here on New Inspiration for the Nation. She's here with me today to tell you that no matter what is going on in your life, you can spend the time right now and change today. You could change right now your thoughts, one thought at a time, and the more positive steps you take, the better positive future you'll see for yourself. Angela, we thank you so much for spending some time with us here on New Inspiration for the Nation.
It was truly my pleasure, George. Thank you.
George Kilpatrick, New Inspiration for the Nation.